know about the saint part, but she's been attending this church since she was 4 years old. I dare not tell you how many years that it was in the interest of marital harmony, but been a long, long time. So, title of the message this morning is Blockbusting Prayers or Prayer Busting Blocks. Let's just ask the Lord to bless our remaining time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you today for your word and for the fact that it is as applicable today as it was the very minute that it was written. And Lord, I thank you for your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that he would have free reign here this morning. And that he would be our real teacher. And Lord, I would ask that I would be very careful not to say anything that might cloud his message for us here today. Lord, thank you for each one that's here today. I speak in the assurance that you know each heart and that you will apply that which we are willing to listen to. Give us ears to hear, Lord. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I don't think it'll come as much of a surprise if I tell you that for many Christians, prayer is just not our strong suit. I'd like to encourage you this week to read the book of Acts and then ask yourself, why does our brand of Christianity seem so weak compared to that of the believers of that first century church? Where has all the power of Acts 1:8 gone? In that early church, we see God saving people every day, communities transformed, people healed, and miracles were commonplace. What made them so different? I believe in my heart that in large measure, it is because prayer was their priority. Whereas for the most part, so many times, we just don't seem to pray like it matters. Prayer must mean something to us if it's ever going to mean something to God. Also, as I thought about it, it seems as if our prayers seem to be more horizontal. And yes, we are to pray for each other's health and well-being. But in that early church, as you read about it and you look at people like Paul and Peter and others, you see that their prayers were more vertical, what I would call kingdom prayers. For sure, God will do some things whether we pray or not. But as I studied this, I believe there are some things God will do only if we pray. He wants to hear from us. Admittedly, nothing is more discouraging than going through a string of what appears to be unanswered prayers. We call heaven, and no one seems to be home. But the fact is, unanswered prayers are still heard by God, and his silence could well be for a purpose. One pastor was quoted as saying this: if the request is wrong, God will say no. If the timing is wrong, God will say, go slow. If you are wrong, God says you need to grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God's answer will be go. Today I want to briefly look at some of the areas that might fall under a broad umbrella of reasons why our prayers seem to go unanswered. What I labeled prayer busting blocks. The first one might be that of inadequate faith. You see, our prayers cannot be separated from our faith. If we are to petition God, we must ask with expectancy, believing in our heart of hearts that God can and will give us what we desire with one stipulation. Namely, that which we desire is really what we need, and it will bring glory to Him. There is a difference between believing in our heads that God is omnipotent, I do that well, and then actually owning that doctrine, meaning a deep down heart trust. I don't do that as well. I read about some children in a Sunday school class who wrote letters to a missionary to let him know that they were praying for him. The teacher of the class said to them, "Now, children, a missionary is a very, very busy person, so we can't expect him to write back." So one little girl's letter read, "Dear Mr. Brown, we're praying for you. We don't expect an answer." Sadly, this is sometimes how we pray. We really don't expect an answer. We know He can, but I'm not sure He will. If our prayers have clouds of doubt hanging over them, they probably won't get past the ceiling over our heads. We need to fine-tune our minds so that when we finally do pray, it will be to a God who we are convinced is hearing this, and He will answer it in accordance with His will, which will be the best thing for us. He is able. A second and closely related reason for a prayer to go unanswered is that of prayerlessness. James 4:3 says, "You have not because you ask not." So you see, this is the deal, kind of. Satan knows he cannot keep God from answering our prayers, but he can keep us from asking. Someone once said this: prayer is the Christian's greatest privilege. It is the Christian's greatest power, but it is also the Christian's greatest failure. We have not because we ask not. A little boy was trying with all his might to move a huge stone. His little muscles were bulging, perspiration on his face. His father was watching the whole scene, and he asked him, he said, "Sonny, are you using all your strength?" The little boy replied, "Yes, Daddy, I'm using all my strength." To which his dad said, "But little guy, you're really not. You've never asked me to help you." Oh, we need to ask God to help us, to give us a hand. Sometimes we're burdened down with weighty problems of life, and we think we're doing everything we know to do. But have we asked our Heavenly Father to help? The late Pastor Adrian Rogers used to say, "When trials come, don't wring your hands, bend your knees." Why? Because a lot of kneeling keeps us in good standing with God. I like that. Do you not? Don't wring your hands, bend your knees. Because a lot of kneeling puts us in good standing before God. One day the church choir was singing the song, "God is Still on the Throne." A little girl sitting with a mother in the pew didn't quite hear it right. She turned to her mother and asked, "Why are they singing, 'God is still on the phone'?" Kind of cute, but you know what? He is. He is still on the phone. There's a heavenly hotline, and thankfully God is still on that phone. What a privilege to be able to carry everything to God in prayer. Wouldn't that make a great song, Bob? I think we just sang it, right? Think of it. The one who scooped out the seas and heaped up the mountains and flung out the stars. This is who we're talking to, the omnipotent God, and He's invited us to talk with Him. What a shame. We have not, because we ask not. A third reason for unanswered prayer is that of unconfessed sin. Because God is holy, there is a barrier that exists between Him and us. When we come to Him with unconfessed sin in our lives, the Bible is very clear that unconfessed sin will cut off our communication with our Heavenly Father. I believe I put it right. Isaiah 59:2 says, "Your iniquities have separated you from your sins. They have hidden God's face from you so that He will not hear." And then in Psalm 66:18 says, "If I had been hiding sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me." Well, just what is sin? Most of the times we think of it in the big manifestations of murder, rape, robbery, and some of the others. But the Bible says we are all sinners. Now, I know today that offends a lot of folks. But we are sinners both by birth and by practice, according to Scripture. The Bible tells us that by one man's sin, sin entered this world. So we have a sin nature, a proclivity to sin. If you don't believe that, tell me, did you ever have to teach your young children to sin, to do bad things? No. They did it by nature. But sin is really not so much all the things we listed out. Yes, those are sins of commission. But I believe sin is really an attitude problem. And going our own way in life to the exclusion of God is a huge attitudinal sin. I'm hoping that's a word. Sin is an attitude problem. Unconfessed sin and its consequences would warrant a whole message by itself. But in the interest of time, suffice it here to just quote one pastor's take on it. And I quote, "If we have unconfessed sin in our lives, we are presumptuous to expect God to answer our prayers. We should get alone with God and ask Him to reveal by His Spirit that which is standing between us and an answer from Him. If you sincerely don't already know what it is, His Spirit will reveal it by conviction." Absolutely. Will always do it. There'll be a lack of peace. A lack of peace. A fourth prayer buster, and closely related, is unresolved relational conflicts. Colossians 3:13 says, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends us." I ask you this morning, as I ask myself, have we not been forgiven much by the Lord? I think of how He forgave me for 27 years of blowing Him off. Didn't want anything to do with it. I wasn't an atheist, but I wasn't interested in what Jesus Christ had to say either. And yet, are you like me perhaps in being slow? Having that forgiveness, being slow to forgive our fellow man for what are, in comparison, the smallest of transgressions. God always wants us to make amends wherever possible. Romans 12:18 encourages us this way. Try, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, to live at peace with everyone. A pastor once made the following statement. There is no point in trying to pray if we are engaged in an ongoing conflict with a Christian brother, sister, family member, co-worker, neighbor of a friend. Stop and think about that. What a thought-provoking thought. A fifth prayer buster is selfishness or praying outside the will of God. There was a young college girl who once prayed, Lord, I don't want to be selfish about this, but I sure would appreciate it if you would give my mother a son-in-law. Our prayers sometimes are not answered because we're saying, not thy will, but mine be done. Man first got into trouble in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve, in essence, said that very thing. We know what you told us, but not your will. Our will be done, Lord. Our lift, my will. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And James 4:3 says it this way, but sometimes when you do ask, you don't get it. And it's because your whole motive is wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which is outside the will of God. Have you ever noticed when closing a prayer, we pray something like, and I pray this in Jesus' name, amen? That is not meant to be just a pithy little phrase tacked on at the end of a prayer. It really means, this is my desire. My desire is to have prayed this prayer exactly as Jesus would have prayed it. And when we do that, oh, my friends, we are using the authority and the power of Almighty Creator of the entire universe to bring about that which we have just prayed. Also, amen. Amen does not mean, that's it. Amen, in the New Testament Greek, it's a firm and authoritative pronouncement. Yes, so be it. Let this be done, is what it means. I've heard it said, and I love this. I wished I could come up with things like so many people do, but I just love this. A prayer is much like a check that requires two signatures. I sign it and send it on to heaven. If Jesus also signs it, it will be honored. Which goes this way. We pray to the Father. The Holy Spirit delivers a prayer to Him. He looks to Jesus, and Jesus signs off, and that prayer will be answered. Has both signatures. Mine when I sent it, and Jesus when He signed it. Folks, we have got to get to the point where we realize that prayer is much more, so much more than getting God to run errands for us. He is not a celestial bellhop. Oh, the importance of praying in accordance with God's will. A final prayer block this morning. That's the word you've been looking for, right? A final prayer block. Sometimes the timing of our prayers are just wrong. Have you noticed that for most of us, this seems like a prayer buster? And it's because we live in such an instant society, always trying to do everything faster. Please don't say anything, hon. I am a classic example of a type A personality. My daughter-in-law describes it as the Roberts go worm. An instant society. Yakov Smirnov, a Soviet-born American comedian years ago when he immigrated to the U.S., said, "In America, everything is instant. They have instant coffee. They have powdered milk. They have powdered eggs and baby powder." What? What a country. But it's true, we have freeways and supermarket express lanes, on-demand movies, drive-thrus, online ordering. So is it any wonder that sometimes we think to ourselves, "Wow, I've been praying this for 3 days and God hasn't done a thing about it." As parents, we know that children rank the words "not yet" just about the most awful thing they could possibly hear. "My prayer has not been answered." Have you ever gone on a long trip, barely 15 miles from home, and a voice in the back seat says, "Are we there yet?" Oh, my friends, I just digressing a tad here. I don't know how many years ago it was. Michael's in the 7th grade, and Meredith's in kindergarten, and we had an old motorhome, key word old, old motorhome, and the rest of my family thought it would be great to take a trip across country to California in that motorhome. I didn't feel safe driving it to Bath, but anyway. So, and I'm not sure my son really wanted to go either. But anyway, we took off, and you talk about a lot of prayer. We got, and Becky will bear this out, we hit the intersection of Route 27 and Route 1. And my son says, "Daddy, we must be almost there now." Oh, my word. That was not a good trip. That was not a good trip. So, he was sick to begin with. Becky made the kids, she had to write Meredith down, but journal. Everywhere we go, we journal something so they know the practice and everything. Mike's journal I found about a year ago. It is so Mike. You know, we always said he wouldn't pay a nickel to see an earthquake. Well, he writes down, "Day one, I feel terrible. This trip is way too long." Day two, "Oh, my word. We had to sleep in a truck stop. Couldn't sleep all night. I feel worse." Day three, "We're now in Nebraska. It doesn't look like we'll ever get there. One bright spot. My parents finally take me to a doctor." That was his journal for the trip. Folks, these here are a few prayer busters. I'm sure there are others. Inadequate faith, prayerlessness, unconfessed sin, unresolved relational conflict, selfishness to praying outside the will of God. The timing of our prayers are just wrong. As I draw to a close here this morning, just a couple more thoughts. Sometimes, though, we tend to use a faulty barometer when we think the prayer has not been answered, but we use a faulty barometer to come up with that feeling, whether it's been answered or not. Case in point, there was a man lost in the woods. Later, describing the experience, he told someone, "I was so frightened, I started to pray." Someone said, "Well, I guess he answered your prayer." "Oh, no. No, no. even before God had a chance to answer, a game warden showed up. There was an answer to a prayer, but he didn't recognize it as such. I like what one person said. If you rise up from your praying time a better person, then your prayers have been answered. Meaning that through the very act of prayer, that person has moved closer to what God has for them in their lives. It's been rightly said that prayer helps remind us of who's in charge. We don't take our request to someone with less authority, do we? We take them to someone who outranks us in the solutions department. And prayer transfers the burden to God, and He lightens our load. Prayer pushes us through life's slumps, propels us over the humps, and pulls us out of the dumps. I forgot I got that somewhere, too. Prayer is the oomph we need to get the answers this week. Folks, when nothing is working, pray. When carrying burdens you don't need to or should not, pray. When you have a problem, pray. When someone you love is suffering, pray. When you feel like giving up, pray. When discouraged, pray. When you don't know what to do, pray. Unfortunately, we all tend to be guilty of treating prayer as a last resort when it ought to be the first response. God should never be a spare tire. He ought to be the steering wheel. You've seen that bumper sticker, haven't you? God is my co-pilot. If you've got one of those, you need to change seats. He's not your co-pilot. He ought to be our pilot. Life is harder than it needs to be because we don't pray. And that is simply because we just don't realize how powerful prayer really is when we pray purposefully, specifically, fervently, and expectantly. We need to pray those ways. So when our prayer seems to be answered, we must first ourselves, are any of these things, these prayer busters, present? If there are, folks, we need to sincerely deal with them. But if we have met God's requirement for answered prayer, then we just need to continue in faith, believing prayer, with an implicit confidence that He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Would you bow with me? We pray. Father, thank You so much. Lord, I would pray that we might have the courage today, starting right here with me, to take a list of these things home and have the courage, as I said, and the conviction to go through them. And if there's anything there that needs to be dealt with, oh Holy Spirit, do it. Do it. That our prayer lives might be so much more effective. That we might possess the power that was available in Acts 1:8 to that early church and is still available to us today. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray these things in the precious name